All right, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for joining us here at Replicate Church today. My name is Jared. We're so honored to have you with us and to worship the Lord. Today we'll be continuing with Genesis chapter 2, and just really want to thank you all. It's wonderful to see your faces this morning. And if I may, I want to touch on a couple of the announcements here at the intro. Before service day, you probably saw some of the slides that were scrolling. Those were the different small groups and those people who are hosting those. You'll see some sign-up sheets on the back table. But also, with regard to small groups in the bulletin, those dates will shift for some of those groups. But just remain flexible. We got a couple weeks. Take a look at those slides next week as well. See which group might be one that fits your schedule. And if you have any questions, feel free to see me after service, and I'll get you linked up with them. Also, I would like to direct your attention again to the bulletin. There's a connect card in there. If you have any prayer requests, if you've made the decision to be baptized, all of that can be captured in there. You can give it to myself. Pastor will be standing by after church, or you can drop it in the offering box on your left-hand side there next to the next steps table. So with that being said, I would like to invite you to pray with me as we ask the Lord to bless the tithes and offerings, and then we'll get into a moment of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just overwhelmed and just full of joy to be in your presence today, Lord. We lift up our tithes and offerings to you as a sign of worship and trust. Lord, we just are so grateful that you meet our every needs. During times that are trying, times that, you know, we just going through difficult phases in life, we trust in you that you can make a way. And Lord, we just ask that you bless these gifts. Lord, we ask that you can use them to multiply your kingdom. And Lord, to most importantly, help us as a church to reach the lost, to serve the East Milton community and beyond. And Lord, we just love you and thank you and give you all the praise. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. All right. At this time, Pastor Jared will come up. And since we do have some guests here today, I'm going to spot a couple. There's three Jareds here at Replicate Church. The pastor is one of them. And so some people got to refer to him as number one. I'm number three. But anyhow, he's going to come up and lead us in a moment of scripture-guided, intentional prayer. Please.
How about now? There we go. All right. So part of our worship here at Replicate is spending some time in prayer. We don't think that's optional. We think that is a must when it comes to following Jesus. And so one of the best ways we found to pray is to pray through Scripture, because when you pray Scripture, you're praying God's word back to him. You're praying in God's will. And God says, hey, if you pray according to my will, I am faithful to answer your prayers. And so the text this morning is going to kind of guide us is Psalm 62. It says, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Then we have a couple of prompts just to kind of guide us in that, kind of rooted in that scripture. It's God, my security rests in you alone, and I rejoice in the hope of my salvation. God, I'll trust you to be my refuge during blank. Maybe you're going through some trying times right now, and you just declare to God this morning, God, I'm going to trust that you're my refuge in this. Lord, be a fortress for blank as they endure blank. Maybe you know somebody that's going through some hard times. Maybe they got some tough choices, and you just want to pray and intercede on their behalf this morning. And then finally, God, help me to fix my eyes on you when I am tempted to do this. And we all have those things that we're tempted by to draw our eyes away from our Heavenly Father. And so maybe you just pray over that this morning and say, Lord, help me to keep my eyes fixed on you this week when I'm tempted to look here. And so take about 60 seconds, just go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll close this out and we'll continue in worship this morning. Lord, we're so grateful that you've chosen us, Lord, that you have allowed us to have this ability to come to you in prayer, that we're able to conversate, to commune with the God that spoke the universe into existence, Lord.
God, we're grateful this morning that we can come to a Heavenly Father that continues to extend His mercy, His grace, and His steadfast love. Lord, I pray as we engage Your Word this morning that Your Holy Spirit would lead us. Lord, that You would illuminate Your Word. Lord, would You help us keep our eyes fixed on You this morning. God, remove all distractions. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on You. Soften our hearts to receive Your Word this morning. Help us not just to hear it, but to be both a hearer and a doer of Your Word, to walk in obedience to Your Word. God, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would just move in this place this morning. Yeah, that You would do a mighty work, Lord. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand with us as we continue to worship this morning.
Amen. 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 I'm going to invite you to continue standing if you're able for the reading of God's Word. Mike Grossstein is going to come read our text for this morning. I know I saw it. There he is. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 this morning. You're going to need a mic, sir. There you go, my friend.
Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation.
Amen, amen. You guys may be seated. Thank you, Mike. Kids, you guys are released. As they make their way out, if you want to take a moment, greet your neighbor, let them know you're glad they're here this morning. Well, amen and good morning once again. Man, we're so glad that you're here this morning. I just got to say, when we had our time of prayer, I love hearing those of you that are brave enough to pray out loud. There's something about hearing the voices of God's people cry out to God. It just does something. It stirs inside of us. So just, I just want to let you know that I enjoy when I hear those voices crying out to the Lord. And so but we're glad you're here this morning. If you're a guest with us, welcome to Replicate. You found it. You made it. Every obstacle there was to get here, you weren't scared away. And so we're glad you made it this morning. Before we get into Genesis chapter 2 this morning, I want to give us a couple of reminders. One announcement that's not in your bulletin is we're going to have baptisms next Sunday. And so if you want to get in on that, if you've made a profession of faith, and you want to take your next step, or you want to know what believer's baptism is, come see me after our gathering today. Or again, you can use that Connect card and say, hey, you want to know about getting baptized and maybe get in on that next week. But we will be having baptisms next week. And at the end of the month, we're going to be having communion together, the Lord's Supper together. So you can look forward to that as well. But we do have baptisms next week. And then tonight is our vision and prayer night. We do monthly prayer nights, but tonight we're going to kind of just focus on the vision that God has given us for 2026, what it's going to look like, some of the things that He's called us to pursue, and then we're going to pray over that. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to pray for our city, and so that's going to be from about 5 to 6, so if you're able to, we would love for you to come out here tonight and just hear what God has in store and pray with us over 2026, and so again, as Mike said this morning, we're in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And as we consider that, I want you to think about this. When I say the word rest, what comes to your mind? Just listening to those responses right there, that word rest means a lot of different things for a lot of different people. Right? Maybe you're a mom of little ones. And this morning, you're like, I would give anything for 5 minutes of rest, right? 5 minutes of nobody touching me or needing me, 5 minutes to just have coffee or maybe a nap, right? That's what rest means to you right now. Maybe you're the caregiver for someone you love and you're desperate for rest so that you can find your identity again. Or maybe work's been running you ragged or school and you're just dreaming of a vacation, and that's what rest means to you. And then there's those who rest to them is almost like a four-letter word, right? Rest makes you weak. Rest is for the weak. Or maybe you've embraced the Western culture of you know, rugged individualism, and you're like, I don't need rest. All I have to do is pull myself up by my bootstraps and press on, and it'll be good. We all have different things that stir inside when we think about the word rest. And it may surprise some of you that God's word actually has a lot to say about rest. It may differ from your idea of rest, but he has a lot to say about it. And in fact, what we see in Genesis chapter 2 is that God not only is the creator of heaven and earth, but he created rest. In his infinite wisdom, he created rest. Some of my nappers are like, amen, praise the Lord. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, this idea of rest and what it means as we follow Jesus this morning. So go ahead and look with me at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 again just so it's fresh in our minds. But this is what Moses writes in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. He says, thus the heavens and the earth were filled, and all the host of them, meaning everything inside of the heavens, the universe. And so we look at this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. It's the seventh day. Creation was finished. Everything was just as it should be. Everything was in perfect union with God. Remember, sin has not entered the picture yet. So everything God created was in perfect union with him. It was operating exactly how he designed it. There was nothing left to do. His creation, his work, it was finished. God's will had been perfectly executed through his infinite wisdom. Psalms 33:6 says, by the breath of his mouth, the heavens and everything in them were spoken into existence. Psalms 89:11 says, and everything in it belongs to him. God had finished the work of creation, of speaking everything into existence, and it was just how he created it to be. There was no need for him to go back with an eraser. I had to use an eraser the other day for the first time in a long time. I forgot how much kind of weird joy there is in using an eraser sometimes. But he didn't have to come back with an eraser. He didn't have to come back and tweak some things. There was no need for a do-over or, hey, I messed that up. Let me fix that. Everything was just as he created it to be in his infinite wisdom. His work was finished. Verse 2. It says in verse 2, and on that seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day. Now, I don't really like the ESV translation of that. A better interpretation of that, and we read the Hebrew and most other translations, is this, that by the seventh day, he had finished creation. Right? You read the ESV, and it kind of almost makes it seem like he was still working on the seventh day, but you look at the Hebrew, and the intent there was to say that he had finished the work by the seventh day. And so the word we're going to look at this morning in verse 2 is that word rest, the word sabbat in Hebrew. It means to stop or to cease work. God, in this moment on the seventh day, had ceased to do the work of creation because it was done. It was finished. There was nothing else for him to add. And it's this word, sabbat, that we would get the word Sabbath from later on in the Old Testament, which would be the day of rest for the people of Israel. And we'll talk about that more a little bit later. And then in verse 3, Moses reiterates this concept of God resting, and he says this in verse 3. He says, so God blessed the seventh day. He made it holy because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Do you understand what that says? That on the seventh day, God set apart that seventh day from the other six. That day of rest, he sanctified it. He made it holy. It was supposed to be different than every other day. But you read that, and maybe you have asked this question. Maybe you've never thought about it, but why did God rest? Because if we understand God and his nature to the best of our ability, and we read the entirety of Scripture, we know that we serve a God that didn't rest because he gets tired, because our God never gets tired. Our God never grows weary. He never needs a break. He is always moving, always working. His power is everlasting. It never runs out. So he did not take a break because he was exhausted from the work of creation. In fact, that word rest there, not only does it imply a ceasing from work, but it implies that God was ceasing to work so he could take time to admire his creation. So that he could look and at the glory of everything that he had created to take delight in his creation. See, God rested on the seventh day, not because he needed it, but as a template that you and I were meant to follow as followers of Christ. It's here that God establishes the seven-day week that we still adhere to today, and he implements this 6 days of work and 1 day of rest, not because he needed it, but because he knew we would need it. Right, as image bearers of God, created in his likeness, our lives are to reflect the character and nature of God, which means we are to heed and obey the example he sets and the instructions he gives. He set the example to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. He set it apart. He sanctified it. He made it holy. He did so not because he needed it, because he knew we would need that rest. Right, the God who knows our innermost being, who created us, who breathed life into our lungs, who is sovereign over our lives, the same God that knows our limitations, our needs, our strengths, our weaknesses, in his infinite wisdom knew that we would need rest woven into the rhythms of our lives if we were to have an enduring faith. Right, and I think in part he knew we would not schedule rest on our own, or some of us would rest too much and not work enough. And so he said, here, I'm going to lay out the template for you because I don't want you to miss the clue bus. I want you to be able to follow exactly what I intended for you to do. I don't want you to go too far one way or the other. So he lays it out. But here's what we need to understand, church, is that rest is meant to be a foundational component of our faith. Right, we talked about last week that Genesis lays a lot of the foundation for what we believe as followers of Christ. And so we're going to leave these cinder blocks here the entire series to remind us that what we're reading in Genesis is foundational to who we are in Christ. And so one of those foundational components that God has designed for us to be a part of is rest. If we are to have an enduring faith, rest has to be a component of that enduring faith. Was not created for our benefit, or it was not created for God's benefit, but ours. Now, some would read this text and they say, well, see there, God quit working. He created and left his creation. But we know from John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says, my Father is working until now, and I am working as well. God rested on the seventh day, but he did not continue to rest. He did not cease to work in creation, but he continued in his providential care of the universe, holding it all together, providing for all its needs. Jesus himself affirms that the Sabbath, this day of rest, was made for us and not for God. He says, the Sabbath rest was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God knew we would need rest. And I think he knew we would struggle to take it. And so I mentioned this already, this day of rest, this seventh day, eventually became Israel's holy day. It became the Sabbath day for the Jewish people, God's chosen people. We see that in Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments, where Moses gives the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel, and one of the commands there is to keep the Sabbath day holy, to not work on this day, but to focus their hearts and minds on the Lord. And then some time went on, and you had people like the Pharisees who then turned this holy day, the Sabbath day, into something it was never meant to be. They started adding different laws and extra requirements, and what was meant to be a day of blessing had now become a day a burden to the people of God. Then Jesus comes onto the scene, and he fulfills the law and the requirements so that this Sabbath day, as it is written in the Old Testament or the Mosaic law, is no longer a requirement for God's people. Right, but even then, as Jesus ascends into heaven, the church naturally gravitates towards gathering on this seventh day, on this holy day, the Lord's day, and they begin to birth the church, and it begins to meet regular and traditionally on this seventh day. It's the day they would come together like we still do today, and they would worship, and they would sit under the teaching, they would break bread together, they have fellowship with one another. It's the day they would cease from their normal work and rest in the Lord. Now, while the requirement to uphold the Sabbath, as is instructed in the Mosaic Law, is no longer in play for you and I, we still see this idea of rest, this idea of Sabbath rest modeled for us in the New Testament. We still see it as foundational to our faith in Jesus, foundational to an enduring and persevering faith. See, Jesus consistently getting alone by himself to rest, to be with his heavenly Father. We see other periods of him taking the disciples away to rest. But before we get into that, I think we need to understand what rest is in a biblical sense, right? Because we've already established that when we say the word rest, it can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people. That some of us may even have a negative connotation about that word rest, right? That I can rest when I'm dead, right? I can remember uttering those words in my younger days, that can rest when I'm dead. Sabbath rest is meant to be a time of refreshing and renewal, a time for the Lord to fill our cups, to nourish our souls. Understand, when God rested, he rested in the plurality of himself. It was the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He rested in himself. He sat and admired his glory, the glory of his creation. And so when we rest, we are meant to rest in the presence of God. Right, sure, there's some stuff woven in there where to rest from our daily routines, but we've missed the mark if we've went on that vacation and we've done those things and we've never taken time to actually rest in the presence of God. We've gotten maybe some physical rest, but we have not gotten the spiritual rest that was intended. Right, we are to rest in his presence. We are to seek his face, admire the work that he has done, the work that he's doing, focusing our hearts and our minds on him. Here's what happens as we rest in the Father. He strengthens us in our spirit to do the work he's called us to do. He gives us manna from his word. He gives us the bread of life to sustain us. As we rest in the Lord, we just spend time delighting in his presence. We grow in our love for the Father. You know, resting in the Lord is a time to reflect on his goodness and his provision. Psalm 92 says that resting in the Lord is meant to bring joy to our souls. We're not resting properly if it doesn't bring joy to our souls, if our tanks are not being filled. Now, we see this idea of rest kind of take shape in two different ways in Scripture. We see it again in a physical sense, where we're to break away from our normal routines and spend some time resting physically while also focusing our hearts and minds on him. Right? We see that initially here in Genesis chapter 2. This physically taking a day of the week and making it holy and say, I'm going to break from my routine so I can be with God. Right? We see this example in Mark 6, 31 and 32 with Jesus and the disciples. They had been in a busy season of ministry. Man, they were wore out. And Jesus said, hey, come with me. We're going to go to a desolate place. We're going to go in the middle of nowhere. Right? He was taking the disciples on the very first men's retreat ever. Right? We don't know where they were going. There was no time constraints. He didn't say when they were coming back. He said, just come with me. Right? There was no responsibilities. There was no agenda, no timeline. The only obligation on this trip was to rest and be with Jesus. And the purpose was that they would be refreshed and renewed, strengthened so they can continue in the mission. And so for us, that may look like a weekend away. You know, we regularly do men's and women's retreats. That's one of the reasons we do that, to get away, to get out of your rhythm so you can focus your heart on the Lord. Maybe for others, maybe it's a version of a sabbatical where you're coming out of a hard season of ministry or life and you just need a little bit of a break to refresh yourself in the Lord. Here's what I want you to see is that that's biblical. That's in the Bible. He's called us to do that. There's seasons where we may have to step away and be like, Lord, I need my tank filled so that I can come do this for you later. I need to step away. I need to have rest in you, God. I think we forget sometimes that rest is God-ordained. Like, rest is not a call to do nothing, but an invitation to have our spiritual cups filled. Right? I think we can get down this in this track where we think rest is a call to be lazy. It's a sign of laziness. No, it's an opportunity, an invitation for us to have our cups filled in the Lord. But so many Christians in this Americanized version of Christianity have believed the lie that, hey, rest is bad. Rest is horrible. If you rest, somebody's going to get ahead of you. But God has said, hey, rest, I've set it apart. I've sanctified it. I've made it holy. You need it to endure in me. We need to have our cups filled so that our soul can be renewed, our joy ignited, and our endurance strengthened. Rest is not a call to do nothing, but an invitation to allow God to fill our cups. Now, so we have this idea of a physical sense of we're stepping away for a season of rest, stepping away from our normal rhythms to spend time with the Lord so our souls can be refreshed. But then as you move into the New Testament, Scripture highlights a spiritual rest that we are to experience in this life. Hebrews chapter 4 highlights this, that the reward for those who believe, who place their faith in Jesus, make him Lord over their life, who receive that forgiveness of sin, the reward, the promised reward for that is an eternal rest with God. Right? Understand that at this moment in creation, and what we were created for is to be in a perpetual rest with the Father. And what I mean by resting in the Father, we were created to be completely dependent, reliant, and delighting in him at all times. And at this moment in Genesis chapter 2, that's what's going on. All of creation is fully reliant and dependent upon the Father for all things. And the promise of salvation is this, is that when you take your last breath here, you get to step into the eternal rest, free of sin, free of despair, free of anxiety, free of death, free of evil, free of disease, free of all of it. Well, you get to live in that full, that perpetual rest with the Father for all eternity, delighting in his presence and his glory. But see, here's the beauty of salvation. In salvation, we get to experience part of that rest here in the already but the not yet, right? In salvation, we get to experience part of heaven here. We call this time in between the already but not yet because we can experience heaven here, but not in its fullness yet. But he, even here in our salvation, though we don't get to step fully into that eternal rest, we get some of that rest for our soul here when we place our faith in Jesus. Right? We were created to be in that perpetual rest. Sin robbed us of that. Jesus restored it. And he says, if you will come and abide in me, you can walk in that rest here and now. You don't have to wait till you get to eternity. Some of y'all ain't tired because y'all ain't. I get excited about the idea of resting in my Heavenly Father forever. Like, I don't know. I think that's part of the beauty of growing older is you yearn for heaven more because you're just worn out. Right? Maybe because I'm approaching 40, I'm a little more worn out than I was at 20. And I'm like, praise God. Come on and come back. Jesus, I'm ready. Acts chapter 3 says, times of refreshing alone belong to Jesus. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says, all who are heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. That's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. I don't think this is new to a lot of us, the idea of rest, but yet many of us consistently ignore it. We struggle to rest. We struggle to live out this model. We struggle to cease from our work, to cease from our daily rhythms. We struggle to abide, and we consistently wander away from rest towards something else. Listen, I would be lying if I stood up here and told you I have it all figured out when it comes to rest. Ask my wife. That is not the case. But I tell you what, the Lord has had to redeem a lot of my thinking when it comes to rest. He's had to convict me of some things. He's continued to burden my soul about the need for rest, continually to remind me that I will not be able to endure as a husband, a father, or a pastor if I am not taking time to rest in him. I don't have it all figured out, but here's what I do know, that just from following Jesus as a husband, a father, and a pastor, a caregiver, all of that, is that loving people well is what we've been called to do. Right? Scripture says the two greatest commandments are to love God and love people. There is joy for the believer in loving people well as Christ commands. But to love well means there has to be rhythms and seasons where our cups are being refilled. Where we're being renewed in the Lord, where the flame inside is being fanned. To love people well, we need rhythms of godly rest in our lives. Because you know what? We can't give people what we do not have. If our tanks are empty, we can't give people what we do not have. If my spiritual cup has run dry, I'm not going to be very good as a husband, a father, or a pastor. I need to have daily, weekly, yearly rhythms of godly rest in my life if I want to endure, if I want to persevere, if I want to be able to love people well. Some of you, like me, came from came to faith in a culture that put serving and doing above all else. Now, serving is important. We have all been given work to do by our Heavenly Father. We've been called to serve one another. I'm not negating that, but sometimes in the Christian world, we put serving here and everything else underneath it. When we do that, we get it out of whack. We're not an emotionally healthy, mature believer at that point. Because while it is important, it's not the most important thing. Because if we're always working, if we're always serving, and we're never resting in the Lord, here's what's going to happen. You're going to burn out. You're going to become jaded at the church. Christianity is going to become a burden. Following Jesus will be a burden. You start to say things like, well, I've done my time. Kind of say that is not a biblical statement whatsoever. Right? If there is breath in your lungs and you claim the name of Jesus, there is work for you to do here. There is never a time where he says, hey, you just sit this one out and I'm going to call you home later. That is not a biblical statement, all right? Sorry, that was extra. But when we don't rest in the Lord, we lose our joy in Christ. We stay frustrated. Is this ringing any bells for anybody? And we're starting to be tempted to judge others. Because our cups are not being filled. Rest is foundational to an enduring faith. Without rest, we will not have a faith that endures to the end. See, resting in the Lord is key to maintaining intimacy with Jesus, right? And it's in that overflow of that intimacy with Jesus, that deep, abiding relationship with Jesus that we have all been called to. It's that overflow of that we should all be aiming towards. Right? Because when we're living in the overflow of that intimacy with Jesus, everything that we're commanded to do in Scripture just kind of comes naturally at that point. Share the gospel? Sure. I'm abiding in Christ. Make disciples? Sure. Serve one another? Give cheerfully? All those things are natural overflows of intimacy with Jesus. But if we are neglecting rest, we're neglecting intimacy with Jesus. In Exodus 16, Sabbath rest is not being commanded yet, but we do see Sabbath instructions here in Exodus chapter 16 from Moses to the people in Israel as they're out in the desert. God's going to provide them some manna to eat, and so Moses gives them some strict instructions for the Sabbath. He says to keep this day holy. This is going to be a day of rest. Don't do anything. And to just, you know, summarize that, they didn't listen. It didn't go very well for them on that day. For many of us in this room, and the idea of rest in our faith, it's not a new idea. This wasn't really a new idea when Moses brought it up. They had heard it before. We've heard it. Many believe it, but very few execute it well. Right? It could simply be because our priorities are out of whack. We live in a culture that often idolizes those who stay busy, who have numerous irons in the fire at one time, and we demonize those who stop for any reason. Listen, Christian, if you prioritize a 7-day work week over spending time with Jesus, I'm not saying you're not a believer, but I'm saying some things are out of whack. You need to do a reassessment, right? If you're prioritizing, because God clearly says, work 6, be with him 1. You need to set aside. So if we're saying we love Jesus, but I'm also loving working 7 days a week, something's off there and it needs to be checked. Listen, I know I've been there. I've done the 7 days a week. I've worked the 2 jobs. And there was a time where I loved doing that. And then I met Jesus and I said, that's not how it's supposed to be. Few of us, if any, have ever had somebody model rest well for us. Many of us have just inherent need to be doing and going all the time. So that puts us a little bit of a disadvantage that we have to kind of bring that and redeem that a little bit. Or we've bought the lie that if we rest, we'll lose ground that we've gained, that somehow we'll fall behind if we rest. That if we rest, we won't be taken care of. Some of us don't rest because we have FOMO, the fear of missing out on something. There's numerous reasons for why we don't rest well. See, but when the people of Israel, when they finally did heed the Sabbath, and they took that seventh day and they ceased to work, they didn't water their crops, they didn't pull the weeds, they didn't sell their goods. What they did was trust that the Lord would sustain them, that he would provide to meet their needs, that he would keep their crops alive, that he would keep his promises. The more we trust in the goodness and provision of God, the easier it becomes to rest in him. One of the biggest reasons we have trouble resting is because we don't really trust in the goodness and the provision of God, because if we did, resting would be a whole lot easier. See, if we trusted in the goodness and the provision of God, when that temptation arises, hey, I could really work that seventh day this week, right? I'm sure I could buy something with that money, but I need to be with the Lord instead, right? I need to spend some time with him. I need to have this day of rest. When we trust in his goodness and provision, we're able to make that decision. Like, it's easier to step away for a season from that ministry when you're able to trust that God's going to sustain it even if you're not there, right? It's easier to let somebody else step in and give you some respite, mom, dad, caregiver, if you're able to trust in his goodness and provision. Yeah, they're not you, but God has provided them to give you something you need, and you just need to trust in his goodness and provision that he's got that covered. So often our lack of rest stems from our inability to trust God, but also is rooted in another sense in our pride. In our pride, we think that the world would stop spinning if we take a day off, right? That ministries would crumble. In our pride, we are led to believe that God is somehow dependent on us instead of us dependent on him. It's pride that causes us to believe that by not resting, we can stay in control of the world, right? We forget, in our pride, we forget that God is sovereign over all things. So lack of trust, pride hinders our ability to rest well. Those are some of the biggies. But that also leads to this question: well, how do we rest well? We've talked about why we don't. Well, how do we rest well? And I think there's three things that are really important that we incorporate into our lives if we are to rest well. Like, God's made it very clear that we are to have these natural rhythms of rest in our lives. Now, I'm very cautious to say, hey, well, this is exactly what those rhythms should look like because I don't live your life, right? But Scripture is very clear that we should have these natural rhythms. And so one of the keys to having these natural rhythms, or these rhythms of rest in our routines, is we got to be intentional about it, right? We just can't say, I need to have rest, and then never intentionally do some things and change some things so we can have that rest. You know, for me, again, I have not learned to do this well, but, you know, for the last couple of months, Mondays have been my day of rest. So if you try to get a hold of me on a Monday and sometimes a Saturday, I'm probably not going to answer unless it's an emergency, right? I'm not sermon prepping on Mondays. I'm not answering emails. I'm trying to rest in the Lord, trying to get my spiritual tank full so I can be a husband, a father, and a pastor well. But just as important as intentionality is, accountability is just as important. Having somebody in your corner that says, hey, man, I think you're doing too much. Hey, have you taken time to rest and have your cup filled? Just interacting with you, you're a little grumpy, your joy's gone. I don't think you've been resting in the Lord. We got to have people in our corner that aren't just yes people, but that love us enough to say, hey, I think you're being dumb. You need to go take a break from this and go be with the Lord, right? That's probably the hardest one for us, because we don't always like to heed word from other people because our pride keeps us from that. We need people to hold us accountable. You know, Paul told the church, he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Part of discipleship is growing and maturing in the Lord. And part of that maturing is modeling what we see other mature believers do. It's having them model that for us, and it's us trying to imitate them, attaching ourselves to those who are further down the road and gleaning from their wisdom. So if we're to rest well, we are to be intentional, we are to have accountability, but we also need to be, we also would be wise to find someone who does that well and imitate them. Now that is easier said than done, because I said not very many followers of Christ rest well. So I would challenge you to pray this week, Lord, put somebody in my life that rests well, or at least rests better than I do. And Lord, just open up a door for me to connect with them, because I need to learn how to rest, Lord. Because I want to endure to the end. I want to love people well. I want to bring glory to your name. I want to do the work you've called me to do, but I can't do that if I'm neglecting rest. Rest is foundational to our walk with Jesus. It's not a call to laziness. It's not a call to get, it's not a get out of work free card. It is a component that is needed to fulfill the work that God has called us to do. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and lead us this morning in a time of response. And as they do, I'm going to close with this. If we are to endure in faith as followers of Jesus, these rhythms of rest are foundational. Can't make it without them. Where we have to have these times where we cease to work, where we pause from our ordinary, and we focus on the goodness and provision of the Father. We have to have these times we are resting, not just for a season, but in him daily, abiding in him. Scripture says that we are to cast all of our anxieties on the Lord because he cares for us. Part of resting in the Lord is to surrender those burdens, surrender those anxieties, to trust him with your spouse and your family, trust him in that provision, and just rest in him. Just give it all to him. That's what it looks like to rest in him. Just, Lord, I'm going to give it all to you. Right? And the more you take those burdens off of your shoulders, the more you're going to rest in him. See, the reason Christianity and following Jesus seems like a burden is because you're carrying stuff you were never meant to carry. You're not resting in him. Right? Remember, Jesus says, hey, come to me and I will give you rest. The problem is we're not coming to him. We're keeping it to ourselves and we're not resting in him. If we want to endure, rest has got to be a foundational component of our faith. You know, for the Christian, we live with this hope of that eternal rest with our Heavenly Father because we have believed in Jesus. But there may be someone in the room today that's never placed their faith in Jesus and never believed in the gospel of Jesus. And I would just implore you this morning to consider that. Because while rest is promised to those who believe in him, the same promise is not given for those who don't. So as we just think about this text this morning, as we have a time to respond, I just ask you to examine your rhythms of rest, follower of Jesus. Are you abiding in him? Is your tank empty this morning? Maybe you take some time and you just practice a little bit of that rest this morning. You give him some of the stuff that you've been carrying. You just take some time and you worship and you reflect on his goodness, his glory, his provision. Rest is foundational to the believer that desires to endure and persevere until the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Scripture says over and over again, you're the one that sustains us. You preserve us. You keep us. You're sovereign over our lives. And your word also says that we can stifle the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Your word has clearly shown that rest is to be a part of our daily rhythms, our weekly rhythms, our yearly rhythms with you, Lord. That it's a key component to following you. God, help us to rest in you. Help us to rest in you spiritually, day in and day out, to give you our burdens, our anxieties, our fears, our doubts, and to just trust in your goodness and your provision, to trust you as sustainer. God, how much more joy-filled would our lives be if we would simply just trust you to sustain our lives, to trust your will, to trust you as the sovereign God of the universe. God, if we need to be humble this morning, I pray that you humble us. If we need, God, just to, our faith needs to be increased, Lord, I pray that you do it. Lord, forgive me for the times where I've not rested well. God, I pray that you provide each one of us this morning somebody to cross our paths that has learned to rest well, Lord, and we would just cling to them.
we'd be discipled in that. We would be able to mature in that part of our faith, Lord. Lord, and for those in here this morning that do not have a faith in Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would draw them to yourself this morning. They would just be overwhelmed by your grace and your mercy, your love for them, Lord, and they would receive the promise of that eternal rest in you this morning. God, we love you, we praise you, we just praise you in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, you may be seated for some closing announcements. If you don't mind, you can follow along in the bulletin as I highlight a couple of the items there. The small groups, I'll talk about that again. Zeke, if you don't mind playing the slideshow for small groups, that has the updated groups, the days that they meet. So if you want to after church, you can take a look and see those groups and those dates. We have a men's group that's starting up, led by Chase McKeithen, so they'll be meeting here as well. That's also on the slides. But anyway, those sign-up sheets are in the back, but also you can engage those people if you see them sitting around you. But most anybody here can direct you and be like, oh yeah, I know that person. But hey, please feel free to see me as well. And as you know, I love small groups because it is truly where church becomes family. And you know, it's really, it goes beyond just meeting in church on Sunday or seeing, you know, hanging out with friends, because really you build these bonds that are just, you know, rooted in Christ. And when somebody in your group has a surgery or a illness, you know, that's really where we care and love on each other and provide people you know, that kind of support that you just don't get anywhere else. So please be on the, please, you know, consider joining a small group. If you're interested in hosting one, please see pastor so you can get properly vetted. But I just can't say enough about the small groups. Tonight is Vision and Prayer right back here, 5 to 6 p.m. The youth parents will be meeting on the 18th. And then Discover Replicate, that's a really important one on February 8th. If you're new or if you're just not a member per se, you can please go to that that event at the church office. We relocated that to here. We'll have lunch served. You'll learn about the vision of the church. Also, how you may be able to serve or you know, just you'll be able to engage with the pastor on some of those things that you may be curious about. Also, while I have that in mind, it's tax season, right? Shortly after I first got here, a pastor was in the book of Corinthians, and I was the new guy. Well, my family, we were the new folks. And he was like, oh, I have to talk about giving. And he's like, there's never a great time to talk about giving, especially when there's a new people there because of our past experiences. It's like, oh, great. We come to this church, and they just want to take our money. But anyway, pastor has often said, he does not look, he does not review what your tithes, your giving is, but by law, Catherine has to give you your form so you can file your taxes, so it's between you and the Lord, facilitated by Catherine. So otherwise, nobody's checking up on that. Again, as you grow in Christ, you'll know, you know, what God calls us to do in that regard, but just wanted to assure you that that's not something that the pastor or the staff ever looks at. Next, Replicate Men, February 8th, Super Bowl gathering. I heard that's BYOB, bring your own Bible. So be on the lookout for that, the details that will be coming out on that. Miss Adrian is in the back, red hair, right? Is that what you know, reddish brown? Miss Adrian's in the back. If you're interested in providing snacks, that is a need that they have. We've dialed it back from meals, which is a good thing because there are so many kids now. There are so many kids that it has become kind of a daunting task to be able to regularly provide dinner, so it's snacks. And but yes, please see Adrian. There is a QR code on the bulletin, but you don't have to use it. You can see her and work that out. Also, D-Now. Mike, I wanted to put you on the spot, if you don't mind sharing with us about D-Now. You do have a mic, but yeah, go ahead. Please tell us about D-Now, what that means to our youth.
Yeah. Can everybody hear me? D-Now is a weekend that we spend together as a youth. It's the weekend, I forget the numbers, but it's the weekend leading into President's Day weekend. And it's an awesome thing because youth groups from around the county and around the kind of panhandle come together and just worship and celebrate, and they have awesome speakers and worship groups that come in to host. This year it's at First Baptist in Milton, and you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of youth coming together all worshiping at one time. And it's a lot of fun because the kids spend the night at leaders' houses. The boys stay at my house and the girls stay at Miss Heidi's house. And so it's just a really cool time for us to come together as a youth group. So if you have a youth age kid who's not in our youth group yet, we meet here on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7:30. And if you'd like to know more about that, just come up and talk to me and we'll get you hooked up. But it's an awesome weekend, and we really look forward to it every year or so.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, the last thing that was on my heart this morning I wanted to talk about was as I was talking with my son Sam, not during church, but earlier, we were talking about the accessibility soccer camp that we had a few months ago. And, you know, I just really wanted to share with you about how, you know, I've never been loved so genuinely as much as I was that day, because the child that I was partnered with, I won't say his name or anything out of respect for his confidentiality with his family and himself, but about every 10 minutes, he'd look at me like he just met me and be like, "Hey, you want to play with me?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "I love you." And then about 10 minutes later, he'd look at me and be like, "Hey, do you want to play with me?" "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh, I love you." And it was, but that he kind of had that 10 minute reset. But, you know, and I that was on my mind today, because I often, this church has given me a special love for those with special needs. As you know, that's a major focus of our church here. And just last week, a lady in our community had posted on Facebook looking for a church. She said something about having a child with special needs, and I'm looking for a church that will love them, that will support them. And you know, that is a real thing. We as society, we tend to exclude people who have family or who have special needs themselves. And I say that today because during those events, I've learned that a lot of them don't know Jesus, and the events are geared towards teaching them the love of Christ, and so they can experience his blessings in their lives. But what's so great about that is the vast majority of them are so innocent, just like that child, that when you talk to them about the Lord and his love, they're like, "Oh, I love Jesus." And it's so unadulterated by society. It's so genuine. And you know, we need to be reminded that that's how we are and we were before we became distracted by everything else in life. I'm sure some of us sat here today and thought about lunch or dinner or what do we got going on this week. They don't have that worry. They just love Jesus right back, and that's all they care about. So last thing, so with that in mind, as you spread the word of God in your community and you know somebody who has someone with special needs, get them in here so they can really experience the love of Christ in their lives, and we can serve them. And, you know, I promised I wouldn't get choked up. But anyway, you get where I'm going with that. So keep that in mind, and be sure to invite them. Get them here so they can have the Lord in their lives as well. That's all I have. We really appreciate you joining us today. You know, may God bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and may his face shine upon you. You are free to go. Take care.